The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
This is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Joey Cockle. How are you doing, Joey?
Good evening. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine. And our good friend, Martin Owen. How are you doing, Martin?
Very well, thank you.
It's been a while since we've all been in the same room together again.
Yeah, mate, that's a good point. It has been a few weeks. I don't think Martin can stay around for the whole of this episode. So when the second guest comes on, Martin just has to disappear and then we'll catch up later on. That'll all be fine. But Martin, who are we going to speak to right now?
This evening, we have the faster of the Holdsworth brothers, who won the weekend, Josh Holdsworth.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You?
I'm all fine. The most important question is, how much Warzone have you played today?
I don't actually play that. That's just Luke and Paul.
Oh, is it? You don't play Apex Legends with Mark Anthony Jones, do you?
I don't usually. I did yesterday and a bit.
Okay. Anyway,
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you later. Apex Legends is trash.
Yeah, oh, look, he's turned into a PC snob now, hasn't he?
No, but yeah. Apex is. I hated it when it first came out, and I still hate it. Absolute trash.
Okay. About 90% of the people who listen to this podcast have actually turned off. But Josh, obviously, like all the sensible people in the world, never mind the UK, you drive for Schumacher with us. Lay down to L1 Evo, and you were at Hearts with me the weekend just gone. We'll get to the end of the weekend straight away. You won four-wheel drive. Well done.
Thanks.
Pretty easy, was it? Quite straightforward?
No, not all. Not with that weather.
The weather was an issue. Not for me. I got plenty of rain assist, but still never. It never helped me. So, was that the first time you've been to Hearts?
Yeah, that's the first time. Yeah.
Were you impressed?
I thought it'd be worse than it ended up being with like the creases and all that, but yeah, it was good.
It was a good facility, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how did you start off your Saturday on two-wheel drive?
Well, it started off wet, I think. So we started off with a wet car. And that was quick straight away. It was like, I think I was fastest in first practice. And then I think it just got drier and drier all day. So in second practice, we went onto the dry car. And we weren't as quick, but we were still quick.
I remember the Saturday morning, you know, there was a lot of people just walking around looking at phones. It was sunny. I think it was sunny when we got there, but they just sort of said there's like 100% chance of rain at 9 o'clock. and then it did turn up. I haven't got a wet car. Muzz, you should sort that out. Sort that out, Muzz. So is there much difference between your wet car and your dry car?
Set wise, yeah, quite a bit.
Like?
Like I have weights in the rear of my wet car.
Yeah, you told me to take all the weight out of my car.
Getting dry.
I keep forgetting when people tell me these things. Is that sort of like the brass at the back of a chassis, or are we talking about the brass right at the back of the car?
Well, yeah, we have like the brass rear hanger or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a couple more brass bits, and it just helps with the grip.
Okay. But it did dry up at Hearts on the Saturday.
It dries quick.
It did. It dried very quick. We'll talk about that probably later when we talk about the last round of four-wheel drive. But I think it was about round... I was much, much earlier heat than you, so I think I did round three on silvers. But I suppose round three for you, you went to dry tyres. Did you do cactus? Did you do mesos? Did you do dark? What were you on?
I was on cactus rear, and then... in four-wheel drive.
Well, no, two.
And then just cut staggers on the front.
Right, okay. Guys, have any of you ran cactus outdoors?
Never. No.
Joey, you on cactus at Hearts?
I think Jerry's gone to the loo because I think he had to have a really break.
Ah, okay. I should always check that before.
I think he's having bladder issues.
Oh, yeah. Also, he probably can't last. But... Oh, you are.
Oh, no, he's back. Oh, okay.
Oh, you're back now, Joe. You're okay, mate?
Yeah, yeah.
What were you doing?
I had to use the loo and then the
bladder issues.
The youngest dog decided to try and choke on something.
Okay, well done, mate. We were talking about have you been to Hearts and raced 10th, Joe?
Many, many times.
Okay, do you ever run cactus?
Cactus, no.
No. Okay.
Because I assume cactus to be an indoor tyre.
Well, I think the whole of the UK did until Hearts mentioned
it. Hearts have obviously done a lot of work for their track recently, anyway, because obviously they were due to have a national. So when they pulled all the sand and stuff out with the Hoover and the washing and everything else that they did, for some reason their Astro sort of become quite grippy. So,
yeah. How did you find the cactus, Josh?
I found them fine. You know, they didn't feel too much different, like a dart. But I think they just lasted longer. That's what people said.
Did you change? I think it was then drive for the rest of two-wheel drive, wasn't it? So did you run the same set of cactus? I was waiting for this. Did you run a set, a new set of cactus every run?
No, I think we did like two. Oh,
okay.
I think I did the same set for the whole of all three legs of the A.
Right, okay. So you didn't notice any difference then. And how did your three-legged A finals go? Where did you qualify?
Qualified eighth. Wasn't the best.
It was okay though, wasn't it? You know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
What's it like being at, like, I'm not pretending the other three of us not going to know this. What's it like being at the back of the A?
It's not nice.
You feel like you've got a chance to get up there, or you're waiting for absolute carnage for any chance?
What do you mean we don't know? How many A-finals have you made, Aidan? A large event?
One, maybe.
So, F3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
So you made an A-final at F3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
So, you've made an A-final then? So you know what it's like to be in an A final.
Yeah, but not that's like one attempt. You know what I mean? Josh has been in many.
Well, I've been in a few.
Okay. Well, be funny. Let's just ask Joey, what do you find when you're at the back of an A final, Joe? Do you think you've got plenty of chance to get to the front, or are you waiting for carnage?
If the first or second lap goes fine, yes. No problems at all. But if you get shoved into that gap that we spoke about last week, then you're screwed. Especially if the weather's not with you either.
But Josh, it was completely dry for your finals, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
So, back to the question of the superstar, not of the average Joe. Did you have a plan? Were you just going to see if you could just drive around in that two-wheel drive A final and then if you can pick up some places?
We usually what it has been at the past like Schumacher series and stuff. It's like the front three, four pull away maybe, and then everyone else is just fighting at the back. But it wasn't like that at Hearts because there's a lot of crashes.
There was a lot of crashes, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Did you cause any of those crashes, or do you were you just like me, just think, haha, someone's crashed, I'm just going to drive around there?
I just sort of like sat back and let everyone else do whatever they wanted, and then, yeah.
Okay. And so how did you end up in two-wheel drive?
I ended up fourth, because I had a second and a fourth.
Oh, yeah, there was carnage, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, of course, we should say this, is it, was Tommy Hall was first overall,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and then who was second? Who was second and third?
I think it was Lee, and then it was Paul. Me and Paul were tied on points.
Right, okay. But I think the podium picture is of him. Did he have a faster time?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So an okay Saturday. You came fourth. Well done. Did you feel more confident going into the Sunday in four wheel drive?
No, actually, I felt less because I haven't done as much running with that four-wheel drive.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of four-wheel drive by us, do we?
No.
So, and we had so, like, guys, the conditions. There wasn't a lot of rain, was there?
No, it just kept coming. Like, at one point, every single round, it would come.
Yeah. I think I was in the third from bottom round. Right. So Heath. And I didn't make any advantage of this. It just ruined other people's days. I got, my first two rounds were bone dry. But as I walked off the rostrum, it started to rain. And as I marshalled, I got soaked. So guys like Callum and Joel, Chris Bowden, you know, anybody who came literally after got a wet track when we got dry. There were guys in our heat. Now, I must admit, they must have been pretty good. But, you know, one of the guys in our heat got in the B. One of the guys got in the C. I think most of us actually ended up in the same final. But we had all the luck regarding the rain. And, like, everyone, I think, was it second round? It rained as I came off the rostrum. I got soaked while marshalling, but the rain stopped after 4 minutes and then was dry again. So the people who went off round like heat five had a dry track, but the people in heat four had a wet one.
Yeah.
That was the craziness of the situation. So how did your qualifying go?
So we had the first round, we had I think we had rain assisted our heat because it rained for the last heat.
Right.
So I think it was Jamie first, and then I got a second in round.
Yeah.
The second round went dreadful. Like it dries so quick. It had dried up for yellows, and I still had silvers on. So that wasn't a good round.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had dried out for like the end of the end couple of heats in the third round. Yeah. But I just didn't drive the best. So I got like a 10 or something. And then in the last round, it was dry for us and then rained for the last heat. So I got TQ.
Yeah, you did. Guys, have you ever had a rain assist day like that?
Yeah, against me. Never. Never in my favour. I've always had them against.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've never had one that's actually benefited my life at all.
I think I got a rain assist in the first round. Realised I would be like, but I didn't do really well in the first round in four-wheel drive. And then it never counted. So I'm sitting there going, I was quite upset. Like, if you'd have come anywhere near me at like 9:30, on a Sunday morning, that's as upset you would see me at a race meeting. Because, like, mind me, the people I'm racing against, one of them had like 15 points on me in the first round. And I thought, I'm never clearing that, getting that back. No. But at the end, that first round never counted because all my other scores were better. So it wasn't actually a rain assist. But I think it's right to sort of talk about, and obviously, mate, you know, I watched the last round of qualifying at four-wheel drive, just to the side of the other side of the roster, I'm going to say, and I was stood with Davey Liddle, right? So me and Davey were watching. Yeah, I think it was Jamie and Tyler and yourself who were like the quickest in that heat.
Yeah.
And then that finished. And then as I walked round to like the other side of the track to watch the last heat, then the rain came.
No, I did the last round and I thought, like, I knew it was a good round anyway, because I think it was the fastest time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went out marshalling and it just started pouring it down, so.
Like, yeah, I just started laughing. That was me, cheering. I was literally laughing and cheering. Because I knew that. What were you thinking you were stood on Marshall Point? I think you were like two or three. Were you praying for more rain?
Well, I didn't. It went from in the third, I think, because I think the A was on like 12 points, something stupid.
Yeah.
Because so many people had good scores. So I was sitting like ninth after the third round. So I didn't even, you know, I was like, get a good run to make the A and then I'd come out with TQ. So I wasn't expecting it, but.
Well, I think Muzz was saying that the first few laps of the last heat with Lee and I think Crompton was in there as well, lots of other people. Like if they started off like 10 seconds slower, but by the end of the 5 minutes, they were back on pace, weren't they? Because the track dried so quickly.
It literally dries in one run.
It was exciting. And then I think I might have scared Eddie because I'm not being sorry, mate. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to that end of the overalls. Okay, right. When I look at the overall stores, I start at the bottom and look up for me. Okay, overalls are not a construct I like to agree with. But so I then had to like grab Eddie because I knew you'd obviously TQ'd that round, but I'm like, I didn't know what other score that you had. So I'm like screaming at you, Eddie, going, has he got another score? Has he got another score? He goes, oh, yeah, he got two. Oh, okay, that's all right. That's going to. You've TQ'd it. You've TQ'd four-wheel drive. So, did you have a plan going into the first leg of the A when you're sat on point one?
No, not really, to be honest. I mean, after we found out that I was TQ, we sort of just started looking at the times, like seeing what my lap time was compared to other people. And we were going to make some changes to make me like quicker and up my speed and stuff, but it turned out that I wasn't even that slow in the first place. So we didn't change anything on the car going into the first leg, and I just sort of tried to keep it on his wheels.
Which you did. You kind of drove away a bit, didn't you? you did. If those videos are on YouTube for people to see at Little Style RC. I think there was like a bit of an issue behind your early doors. That never bothered you. You just drove away from everyone.
I think Lee and Jamie, you know, had a bit of a coming together in the first one, and then Jamie crashed in the second leg or something. But
I remember in the first leg it was you followed by, was it Tom Yardy?
Yeah, I think so.
And then I'm sure Tom won't listen, we'll be fine. Are you happy that you've got Tom Yardy behind you and not Lee?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well.
Yeah, I mean, Lee, when we were looking at lap times, Lee was half a second quicker than me. So that was the worst thing. So like when Jamie crashed on lap one of the second leg, I knew that it was just, he was going to catch me pretty much.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, please point this. I'm thinking, Tom Yardy's not going to drive through it. That's what I was thinking. Tom Yardy, you know, I think Lee was really quick over the entire weekend, was unlucky not to win two and four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
But I think that's because he was then taking chances. I think at one point, you know, he tries to cut the corner on the corner jump as tight as he can, and he makes a mistake and he's off, and then you're away again. I remember saying to, I think it was Pritchard I was talking to at the time, and just said, I don't think Lee would have done that at the National. I think he would have just followed round because he had another minute and waited for another mistake or something along those lines.
Yeah. But,
so first leg out the way, second leg, I'm thinking your biggest issue is I'm marshalling 0.9.
No, it's...
If you'd have made a mistake in the middle of that track, either would have fallen over getting to your car, or I would have kicked everyone else out the way. But again, it was dry. I don't think there was an issue at the front. I think we all it was all quite smart. I said he didn't have to do any marshalling on 0.9.
I think Jamie crashed on that one.
Right.
But that was, and so that let Lee through into second place.
Right. And then you did make a mistake, didn't you?
Yeah, on the double.
Yeah. Yes, you did. And then Lee got through.
Well, I made a mistake and he got onto the back of me. And then I made a mistake. Well, I just went a bit wide. And obviously he's a good driver, so he just went on the inside, but.
Yeah, and then I'm sitting there trying not to watch the race. If you watch the YouTube video, I am the most focused person at one apex you've ever seen in your life. I don't move. I'm just staring at the corner I'm supposed to be marshalling. But then I know that Lee's got past you again. And I'm sorry, my friend. I'm sitting in my head going, just settle for second. There's always a third leg.
That's what I said to myself.
Is it?
Yeah, I wasn't. With the speed that Lee had, and with that track, you just, if you push too much, then it'd just throw you off, which is what it did to Lee when he was out in front.
Right, okay.
There was no point.
And then, but then Lee does make another error, and then you get past. And you win. And then I start celebrating straight away. And then realise there's like other people still racing in the A. So please, people, apologise. Just in case you don't know who I am. Like, second leg of the A, I'm the marshal right in the middle of the track. You go through, you hear Buzz go, and Josh takes it. And then, I'm sorry, Joey, Martin, this is why I shouldn't go to Nationals. I literally just start celebrating whilst the second leg of the A is still going on. I then figure that out, that that's still happening. So I sit back down again as if nothing has happened, as if I haven't spent the last 30 seconds celebrating a win. and then watch the end of the A and then start celebrating again. Mate, honestly, we were all super happy. A bit of a dream. Have you had any other good results? Have you won any other meetings? I can't think of any.
I've not. That was. I haven't won the Schumacher Series. That was the first one.
You've won the juniors, so haven't you?
I've won the juniors. Yeah. I've won the F2s, F3s.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So a bit of experience there, but I don't think you could have had a better. You can't have a better result, you won it. But, you know, such a great result to then go into what is, you know, it's not your home track, because obviously your home track is Bury Metro, but, you know, Southport then being next closest track. And that's obviously where we're at the Zoom series next week. So are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, the cars are great on there, so.
Okay. Are you all prepped? You gonna let your brother do it, or?
Well, he's busy building Mark Anthony Jones's cars.
Surely that must be finished now.
There was three cars, so he's on the last one.
Three? What? Why three?
Two two-wheel drives and a four-wheel drive.
Okay.
Mark Anthony Jones started his own two-wheel drive.
Yeah, so he pretty much built his wet one, but he gave it to Luke to finish off.
Right, okay.
Why? I don't understand, right?
Lots of things. You don't understand lots of things, Joe.
I don't understand.
in RC why people don't build their own cars. Because not only is it great to find out how this thing goes together if you break it, it's also nice to understand how certain setup changes and stuff are going to occur, and you need to know what parts to remove or replace or add on. Like, what I understand if you go to someone like Ben Jemison for a rebuild, refurb style thing, that's absolutely fine. But your first kit, you should always build yourself. I just can't get my head around why people do it.
I think it for like Mark Anthony Jones, because he's got his newborn and he's quite flat out all the time. I think for him, he wants to just turn up to the track and knows it's going to work and isn't 100% confident in his own ability to maybe get it right. I could be wrong, but, you know, I know a few guys that used to have their cars, but it was just time and they just wanted to turn up and know it would work because it's been built by someone who's built one before.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be wrong.
I see what you mean. I know what you mean. But
then at the end of the day, if you're... You know, you go to South, like Mark goes to Southport or Bury, and it falls apart. It's going to be a bit like salty with Luke, isn't he?
Yeah, but it won't because Luke knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, but you know these things will happen. Whether Lee built it or Luke built it or you know the factory built it, things will always go wrong, and you can't have anyone else to blame but yourself at that point because you didn't build it yourself.
I just think people like Mark Anthony Jones and myself are just very confident of how bad we are at building cars that literally a blind man who's never seen a car before would probably do a better job than us.
Just laziness.
Yeah, and a bit of laziness.
At the end of the day, people who have had a newborn, I don't know what it's like to have a newborn, but I have got a brother who's had three newborns, so I kind of understand in a small way.
Is this your faster brother?
Clearly, because he's still racing. he had to quit. You know, if you're that concerned, you know, having a child is going to, you know, mess with your ability to build a car. Stop racing for a little while.
Okay.
Just chill out. Spend time with your newborn. Instead of spending time with 30 sweaty random men in a field, you know, okay. Jesus Christ.
It's been a long time since I've been near a newborn, like 7 years. But at that point, I wanted to get out the house.
Yeah, same here.
Spend the weekend.
I think I took up golf when my son was born, just to get out the house.
Yeah. I think I remember Jamie Banks when we went to Belgium. And I think I said to him, oh, well, we're all having a few beers tonight. In camping out right by the track, and he's like, "No, sorry, mate, my missus had a baby like 8 weeks ago. I'm literally going back to the hotel and going to sleep. That's all I'm going to do. You know, that's what I'm missing now, sleep." So it was all good. So is there any hints or tips that you can give to people who are coming to Southport next weekend for the fourth and most important round of the Zoom series?
Turn around and go home.
Yep.
Don't go to Southport.
Someone sent me a message of a picture of Mordor, and says this is what it's like. This is how much you've built Southport up to be such a terrible and difficult place to drive a toy car.
No,
it's like Mordor.
You've made like Southport to be like the new camp of the RC world.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's nice of you to say that. I'm glad
it's absolutely not like that at all.
Okay. But let's forget Joey's bitterness of the fact that he can't race toy cars and has to organise forklift truck drivers now. It's like having a business card and your own email address, mate. Yep. But I'm not being funny. I get to race toy cars, so that's fine by me.
Badly, but you get to race toy cars.
I was in the same final as Eugene Galley. And then the next day I was in the same final as Joel and Callum. I think I had a great weekend.
Because remember, they are just toys.
They are just toys.
Yeah, toys. Yes, Keenan, they're just toys.
Yes, yeah, Keenan, come on, calm down, Keenan. Just try not to kill everyone. So come on, Josh. Hints and tips for Southport. Ball pinion. turn your turbo down? Do you think that's...
Just watch that back section.
Oh, the local back section. All the way.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Do you know what kind of turbo you run on your two-wheel drive at Southport?
32 or something.
32.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, okay.
It's a long straight.
Pretty long straight. I'm pretty sure we have a full long straight on for the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely in two-wheel drive. And a few people have asked, do you want like a nice easy track for everybody, or do you want to take all the kind of local advantage that you can into that event? So in other words, do you want Kev to do something nice and pretty, or do you want the hardest thing that can come out of Kev Hodgkinson's mind?
I feel like if he includes everything, it'll make the track more fun. You know, more things he includes. So I'd rather include the hard bits as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, diagonally jumping across cable tops, landing within 2 inches of an apex that's not really the apex. Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we like to see. That's what we like to see. So hopefully the weather will be great.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I think
it probably will for Southport, because that's where it always rains there, so you'll probably be all right.
Yeah, it's always sunny at Southport. I've never seen rain at Southport.
No, never.
Never.
It wasn't...
Never seen rain. I'm not being funny. If it is wet, it is going to take away some of our home local advantage.
Yeah.
So if it's dry...
Don't I know about that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you're case in point, Martin. Case in point. You know, so I'm not being funny. If it's dry, some people are turning around going, oh, they need to worry about Evo and Stu Marm and Andy Ward. And I'm going, if it's dry, you're going to have to worry about Kev Hodgkinson, Tony Parr and Dave Scouse. Do you know what I mean? You never mind our really quick locals, our semi-quick ones are just going to be devastating if it's dry. So maybe a bit of rain, I think it'll make it a bit easier for everyone. So, mate, how old are you now?
I'm 17 now.
Wow. How long have you been doing this for?
I think I got my first car for my 7th birthday.
Wow.
So, yeah, 10 years.
Well, okay. And you used to be teammates with Martin, weren't you?
Team C.
I expect those stories are made.
Team C was a brilliant team.
It was a good team. Alec made a good team.
He did, yeah.
You know, what sort of... I think I can remember you with your the Team C cars. I think both you, maybe it was at the time, sort of you, your brother, really stepped up, had some really good national results. I'm kind of impressed you got better with the Team C, because obviously Mark was on the team. That was bound to have slowed you down.
Well, I mean...
it actually slowed me down when a certain younger Josh would just take you out at the end of the straight. That fell for it. I don't ever let
I remember that.
Yeah.
When was this?
Telford National. Years.
Like 5 years ago.
Yeah. I was on a really good run. Josh just decided that my car looked really nice at the end of the straight to T-bone it. We were just both trying to go. We were both on a good run and both screwed it up.
Okay.
But then I think I'd been best ever. I think we had our best time, best ever in National. I think Josh TQ'd the C and I was second in the C at Eden Park when it rained really bad one year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then Josh just got really good and I stayed the crap same I am, which is perfect.
Yeah. Those Team C cars were something else, weren't they?
The TM4 was one of the best four-wheel drives.
The TM2 was, I mean, at Southport, the TM2 was amazing.
It's like a shaft-driven two-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a really good story about Josh driving a yellow TM2, but at Southport it was a regional. But I won't be funny. I'm not going to tell it due to the fact that I come off really badly, and that hopefully maybe even Josh doesn't remember the story.
Because, I don't think.
No, good. It's fine. If anyone asks me, if anyone sees me at a race meeting, that's another story you can ask me about. Issues I had at that day. So we've got Southport coming up. What's going on in the winter?
I think we'll be doing Bury. Bury just posted their dates, didn't they?
Indoor on carpet, yep.
Yeah, I think. And then hopefully works up when they come out.
Works up dates are out.
Oh, they are out? Well, then we should probably works up as well then. And I don't know, maybe Silverstone if when they do theirs.
They're out this week.
So,
I think Essex Carpet Clash of having a practice day. So, in fact, the world's healing. We're all going to go back indoors. Everyone's going to be happy, except Joey. you going to do any racing this week, this winter, Joe?
If work allows, yeah.
Yeah. Works up or maybe some high grip carpet stuff.
You can come to Silverstone with me, Joey.
I'll take a hard pass on that one, I'm afraid.
Joey doesn't like anything with a roof. Carpet and a roof is definitely.
Worksop is absolutely fine. I don't have a problem with Worksop. Because Worksop isn't. Let's just put it this way: certain people take things like Silverstone way too seriously. But then again, some people take Worksop way too seriously. Alan O'Brien.
Well, hang on. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and they were saying that like they might have to do something with the Worksop tire rule because they believe people are cheating.
Again,
they believe people are. I think Worksop, they put a sticker on, don't they?
Yeah. Write they a tech
number. Tires, yeah. Yeah, so they tech to all guys. For anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about just a rear tire, which because it's the Schumacher honeycomb, it works off. It gets better with time, which is completely different from us Astro boys. It gets better with time, and so I think they sticker them. The sticker's got a number on, so that's your number, and then they put a bit of nail varnish on.
Yeah,
I think it's Maybelline 117. I'm pretty good on my numbers, and they just put a little thing on. But they're saying some people they reckon are like picking off the nail varnish, swapping the number, and then reapplying a similar coloured nail varnish. Now, if you're doing that and you're listening to this, please stop that. That's cheating. That's proper cheating. You know, and the worst thing is they're not throwing a new set of tyres on. They're using an older set of tyres. So, I don't know. I don't know if they might go to handouts or something along those lines. Because I've been to Worksop a couple of times with honeycombs and I found them fine. And everyone seems pretty similar. Have you been to... You have been to Worksop, haven't you, recently, Josh, before all this nonsense started?
Yeah, we did the last series that they did.
Yeah, okay. So did you find the honeycombs great on those?
Yeah, they were always, you know, first practice is always horrible. You just got to bed them in, but no, they're fine by the end of the day.
I remember someone turned around and said, if you can just do some donuts on the wooden planks, that sometimes helps. Also, I think it's really cold in the morning at Worksop, and it takes a bit of time for the heating to get in. So it does take a bit of time. So, you know, that seems to be great. Are you racing this Sunday?
We're at Southport this Sunday.
Oh, just get a bit of practice in, just in case you haven't got enough.
Yeah, just a bit more.
Yeah, but are we hoping that Kev lays a nice, easy track for us to get some practice on, or do you want to see something completely different?
I don't know who's coming, so.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So let's wait and see who turns up. And if it's if it's just us Northwest people, we'll run the Zoom track, obviously, clearly. And if there's any other visitors, we won't. We'll run half the straight. We definitely won't run all the back section. We'll probably come on a funny corner just to make sure to give people no practice whatsoever, because that's what they do to us. You've been to Euros as well. Did you go to the Worlds at Huddy?
Well, no, we didn't do them.
Okay, but
I think it was in the middle of like GCSEs or something.
Okay, but is that your plans when the world gets back together? I suppose are we all assuming the Euros next year in 2022 is at Robin Hood again. We can't see any reason why that doesn't happen. Going to be on Astro. Oh, come on, mate! You after your results on Sunday, you'll be one of the favourites.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
sorry, pulling your leg. I'm really happy. Obviously, we're really happy for the result that you had. You know, I like to think you've done that as well as trying to look after me for the last 18 months with my Schumacher cars. I certainly haven't helped, but maybe the drag of me, hasn't been too bad. I don't know. The travel restrictions change on Monday, which means double vaccinated people can come into the UK and not have to self-isolate. You think we might get Michael over? Would you want that? Or do you want the points?
I was speaking to Muzz on like the weekend just gone. And they are trying to get him over, but I don't know. I think they probably will be able to.
I think so. Well, let's see what happens. Ideally, we want a picture of me stood at Manchester Airport on like Friday, next Friday or something like that. Sitting there going, waiting for pick Yawn up at the airport or something along those lines. That'll be great.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, they do. Everyone wants that. Everyone wants that picture. Me in a little hat, picking up Yawn. A little sign, Yawn. Be perfect. The problem is, we all know how dirty the inside of my car is.
I'd also like to point out that if you put Yawn on a piece of paper and then just Michael on a piece, you could get anyone.
Could do. Yeah, that'd be funny. I'd be waiting for a flight from Germany with just Yawn written on it. I'd probably spell it wrong, get me umlauts in the wrong place, and it'll all be good. Josh, mate, great results over the weekend. It's great with all the help that you've given me and all the guys in Northwest. I know we always, if I ever send anyone a setup sheet, they're clearly not mine. They're all yours. So thanks very much for all your help. But before we let you go, do you want to thank your sponsors or anybody else, like your nan and granddad?
Yeah, just Schumacher, Robin, Muzz, for putting on the series and obviously sponsoring me and Luke and my granddad and my nan. Because
they do everything.
We won't be able to do it without them. So.
And those two again look after all of us when we go away. we had a great time. I think we're all in the same hotel this weekend. So I think on Saturday dinner they just stuck us all in one corner and we all had a great time and it was great fun. And everyone was well behaved, except Charlie Marr, who had a bit of a tip at the table after his seventh pint of Stella. But we all did. Mate, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much for your time tonight. I'm sure we'll get you back on after maybe not the next time you win, because I'm not even, it's probably Southport. But once that's done, we'll get you back on and we'll catch up. And you never know. Maybe we might be able to play some Warzone together.
All right.
I checked my KD. I'm a 0.75 KD. So I'm not being funny. I'll just drag us all
he
down.
He thinks that's good.
No. No, I know it's not good because the two kids were like, I say, Josh and Luke were like, I think it was Luke who said, well, hang on, yeah, your KD will drag us right down, will it? And I'm going, yeah, well, I'll go check and see what my KD. I think he was very excited to play with someone who had a 0.75 KD, as he was expecting just constant bot lobbies. For me, just dragging the team percentage down. But, you know, I'm pretty awful at it. But, mate, it's great to speak to you, and it was great to catch up. All right, mate, speak to you soon.
All right, cheers.
Bye now.
Cheers, buddy.
See ya.
Well, that was great speaking to Josh. And probably what we're going to do now is catch up with Darren, because we kind of couldn't find this part of the episode last week. So we've just put it on here. And then once that's finished, we'll all come back and chat about our weekend at Hearts. Okay. Hi, Darren. How are you?
Good, thanks. How's everybody else?
I'm fine. Joey's just too busy. And for everybody else, in case you've not seen the read the instructions, this is, of course, Darren Bloomfield. Superstar. You know, you've been a superstar for a long time, haven't you?
Oh, well, once was, I guess.
Well, I always remember doing you. I don't know if it was the first time we spoke many years ago on one of these things. And I went, well, you know, you have been a UK 10th off-road champion. And he went, well, I've done it twice, Aiden. So, and to be honest, I don't think I'd looked. I just saw one and then never thought to keep looking back for another one. But one of the reasons we've got you on is because this weekend just gone, you were at the third round of the BRCA 1/10th, 1/8 Nitro meeting at Heart. You know, I think when we did speak to you during lockdown, you said you were thinking of coming back to racing, you're thinking about what you're doing. You've started. This is your third round. How's it gone?
Yeah, all right. I've obviously left the racing world as a job, gone into the commercial world where Joey's ended up. But I've now left that behind again. I'm with a small niche company that designs mobility bathrooms. So that's given me all my time back to come and have a go. Yeah, Westmill went all right. It was tough. There's a lot of locals near to there. The track's open all the time. I haven't been there for 3 years. I guess it hit me right in the face. Where Drescher thought it was going to hit me in the face at Shrewsbury and Blackpool, and it didn't, because I think I just sort of muscled my way through. That wasn't going to work at Westmill, and then I had an engine cut anyway, so didn't have to go around at the back.
Okay, so maybe we should go back a couple of rounds. So had you done much prep, practice running before the first round of the Nationals this year, which I think were at Blackpool?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Blackpool. No, I hadn't run a car for over a year before then. And I think, literally, I just turned up. So that went all right. Unfortunately, I had a receiver break in the main final. But I think I was going to be somewhere in the top 5 or 7, single figure anyway. Shrewsbury went a bit better. Got some new batteries, new receiver in there, and went round and got a fourth in the main. So that was a nice achievement, which I hope to carry into Westmill. But like I say, Westmill came and slapped me right in the face. So that will certainly be one I practice at next year.
I can't tell the difference. All 8th track look the same to me. Is there a big difference between a track like Northwest Nitro and East Shrewsbury and something like Hearts? Is one more difficult than the other?
Westmill's just so big, and the depth perception's really tricky. The rostrum doesn't seem too tall by the time you get halfway or even all the way to the back of the track. So it's just it's not a track you can just turn up for a day and feel comfortable with, to be honest.
Right. Yeah,
I've only been to the 8 scale track a few times, and I remember the first time I went, it was before they held the Euros.
at the Euros B's, and that right hand section was completely different. And it was negotiable if you were a decent driver. As soon as obviously they made all the changes for the Euro B's, that whole back section was like you say, it felt miles away. It's crazy how, like say, how everything changes in that section alone. It's like, you know, I need a microscope to see this shit.
Yeah, and also to look at it, when I walked up, I thought, oh, the track's similar or pretty much the same, but every corner felt different. There was extra jumps here and there. There was the whoops had been taken out, and there was a double away from you and a blind corner after that. And it looked similar, but drove nothing like what I unfortunately had in my head.
What did you do about it? Did you, you know, you could, I don't want to say you had great, good results, as, but you were in both A mains in the first two rounds. Sorry, it's a stupid question. Were you feeling complacent? Were you sitting there going, "Hey, I've got this. Never mind what Drescher said. This is dead easy."
No, I mean Westmill. I had my engine not have stopped. I was running third and comfortably in front of fourth, fifth, sixth, and you only needed seventh to bump. So, I think it would have been another A main made. Where I would have ended up, I have no idea. I was getting to grips with it. The problem I had as well was on the Saturday, it rained twice in two of the rounds. So up until the end of Saturday, I'd actually only driven a dry track for 15 minutes. So I haven't been there for 3 years since the 2018 National. And then up until the end of the first day, I'd only driven the dry track for 15 minutes. So I think that was the thing as well. Whereas Blackpool and Shrewsbury, I drove the same track for practice round two, round one, round two, round three, round four. By that time, you've clocked up half an hour, 35 minutes. And I think it doubles up every time you go back out. But having been out in practice, it felt really weird. Then round one, it felt really weird. Then round two and three, it rained. So it felt different again. And then the dry round in the afternoon, it was four. I felt okay. So it just, I think it was, not only was it a different track and different, it was the conditions as well, just broke up me running and in, getting into gear with it. Round five in the morning, I felt the best, got a seventh in a round, which looked promising. But then the next time I went on the track I didn't get on the track for the semi practice because it rained in the first one. So we all just went back and sat down. So I didn't even get back on the track then. Then in the semi final, obviously it was wet again, so I hadn't driven wet for another 24 hours. So it always felt like I was not really geared up for the next condition that was coming along, really. I never really got a good grip at, if it was wet all weekend, I'd have been fine. If it was dry all weekend, I'd have been fine. But because it was changing, it kept throwing me all over the place.
That's just one more thing you're going to try to fight through, as well as getting used to, up to speed with the guys who, because I think Westmill is one of those tracks you can practice 7 days a week, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go there whenever, pretty much sun up to sun down 7 days a week. So, and it just happened that everything happened so quick this year with getting my new job, booking in, getting all the stuff from CML, which is obviously massive appreciation, thanks to them. Everything just came up a bit quick, and all of a sudden everyone was like, oh, there's 4 days left for Westmill track to close before the National. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get there, too late. So it just all came around a bit quick. So as much as I want to do really good this year, it's kind of a bit of an excuse, I guess, at this point. I still want two good rounds, let's say, to finish, but I'm kind of learning what I need to do to do it from this sort of position next year, which is Blackpool, I'll be fine. Shrewsbury, I'll be fine. Practice at Westmill, and we'll see how the next two rounds go. I think the next two rounds will be okay. Brookthorpe, not many people have been there, loads and loads. Yeah, they may have been there, but then I have last year as well, because I did one race there last year.
Yeah.
And that one race was a month, 1 year and 1 month before the first Blackpool National, before anyone says at the start I hadn't raced for over a year. It actually was. It was from that Brookthorpe race last year, it was a year and 1 month until Blackpool National. And then Nemo is going to be a little bit of a similar case with, obviously, I guess the owners of the track, Lewis and Lee, being fast around there again. A couple of people have been there a bit as well, Sloppy and Johnny. So with that one, it could be, who knows? I don't know how much Callum has been there, but yeah, there's a whole sort of crowd of a bunch of people that had been in the middle that I guess had beat me hands down at the weekend, where I'd like to mix it up with them a bit more at a more neutral track, shall we say.
And then, were you in the second semi?
Yeah.
At Heart, because I think it was the first one. Was that totally dry?
No, it was dry for probably the first... I think it was wet for about 6 minutes at the end. So they probably had a dry track for 14 minutes, 15 minutes. I don't know how far ahead they were, but for instance, that 14 minutes in, or let's just say 15 minutes in, I think Lee had like a 5 or 6 second lead on Neil. And then in the last 5 minutes, Neil beat Lee by 37 seconds because Lee had gone out on dry tires. Neil was worried it was going to rain, so he put on M4s. So when it did rain, Neil was sweet and Lee was all over the place. Just because of compound of tyre choice. So that shows you how much the check changed. I mean, yeah, Neil took out 40 seconds from Lee in 5 minutes, which across that weekend was not the truth, shall we say, because obviously Lee walked away with the final. So it was just the weather that changed it. So then when we went out and we had a whole 15 minutes of just pure sliding around, 20 minutes, sorry, had I have been out there, obviously unfortunate for all the other guys, they... none of their time stacked up. So 1-7 in the first semi started 1-7, and then 1-7 in the second semi started 8-14, which they shouldn't have done. They should have, I don't know if it's a rule or not, but they should have, because there was a change in conditions from one to the other, what they should have done was scrap the times and just put 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, so that you didn't get quite so hurt. So for instance,
is that because when I looked at the A final sort of final listing, the A main listing, I looked and thought, other than like Lee at the top, I don't know some of those, like the next 5 or 6, I wasn't expecting them. And then it was like, it looked like from position 8, 9, and 10, it was like Skidmore, you know, that kind of thing. Is that
would have been why? Yeah, because right. 8, 9, and 10 would have been first, second, and third in the second semi. But that's what they should have done. They should have, I don't know if they can or not, or if it's a rule. It's probably one of those things that's not really come up that much. But effectively, they could have or should have scrapped the times and just first and first should have gone in first and second, and then second and second should have gone third and fourth. And they should have just merged it in staggered rather than by times. Because I say the one that stuck out the most for me was Johnny, that was in there top three all weekend, and then deal top three in the semi but started 10th, which, yes, I think that's quite a tricky position to start in. I think you got, because the thing is those guys that are in front of you, let's say that finished 7th, 6th, 5th in the they're still quick, they're still, you know what I mean, they're still moving around. It's over the duration of the final that you would beat them. It's not necessarily like heat 10 to heat 1 in qualifying. There's a bigger difference, 3 or 4 seconds over a lap. So they're still, yes, you'll get past them and yes, you'll beat them, but the time you lose whilst trying to get to that position is, I mean, for instance, at Shrewsbury the week before, when I started, I started high up, but I hit a rock at the back of the track on the very first lap. There's a video up of it. So I was last. And I didn't actually get into fourth where I finished until 7 minutes to go when I got in front of Sloppy. So that just shows you, like, by the time you get back into any position to be focusing on the front runners, it's already too late. You need to be...
I just thought if you got 45 minutes, I would think you'd have all the time in the world.
Yeah, you'd think that, but it doesn't work out like that, especially when the front runners, obviously, they're getting called through when they're lapping. Whereas then you're still mixing it with 6th and 7th, you got to fight your own battle until you're out clear, really. So they're just out the front, clicking off laps, going around, getting called through, and then you're battling people that aren't slow. That's the thing. You might spend another 5, 6, 7 minutes trying to get past somebody, and then trying to get away from them, so you can, that time soon disappears. Or you could even go in the pits, and then their pit man could be slightly quicker. So all of a sudden, they come out the pits in front of you again. So then you've got to overtake them again. So there's, yeah, it's, I think that's what makes it Ape Scale interesting, is the length of it and all the time. But when you're trying to win and you got, I mean, you think, like, I think the other day they finished 2 seconds apart, Elliot and Johnny at Shrewsbury. So you think when you're racing 45 minutes and you finish 2 seconds apart, it's thrown in the mix, if you then got to start from 10th, it's tough.
Okay.
Didn't Johnny also just get harpooned at the start as well? So he went round the bank on the straight and just got nailed.
I'm not sure what happened. I know he had a stop go as well. I guess he was frustrated at some point and did something wrong. I'm not too sure. I was obviously just watching Neil out the front and then just watching his first lap. But no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened at the start. I know something happened and then Johnny hit someone and got a stop go. So yeah, starting 10th and then obviously hitting someone else and getting a stop go is not the best way to start. No, and that's the problem. That's what puts you in the mix. You don't want to be, that middle gaggle is ferocious. It's like the front of the B final. That's what it's like. everyone wants to win the B final, and they're all literally so close. That's what it's like putting yourself 10th from the start of a main. You're in that gaggle of just anything can happen. Yeah.
Fact that you're Dan Bloomfield, ex-European champion, doesn't make any difference to everyone else around you.
None at all. You've only got to get in the dust, spin around, clip someone. You know what I mean? Someone's got to clip your rear end, which it happens when you're the front runners are a bit different. I know when I start off in a 1-2-3-4-5 or wherever, when you start off in the front, you don't really aim to overtake or do anything. You just want to, all four or five of you just want to keep moving, because if you have a crash. As well, even if you start first, if you have a crash on that first lap, you're going to be last because the marshal is not stepping out in front of 13 other fiery cars. So, whenever I'm at the front, it's just, I'm not going to win this on the first lap. Let's just keep moving with these guys, get away from the wolf pack, then we can race and do stuff. But when you start 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, you're in that mix. There's no getting away from it.
It's like you said, there's, you know, four or five guys around you that are quick, you know, and it's...
Yeah, they're not slow.
It's crazy. No. Yeah,
you are potentially faster than them, but when they're right in front of you and they don't have to give you way, you're not that much faster that you just drive past them and make them look silly. So
yeah,
each individual person takes X amount of time to get past and work off, and it just costs you vital time.
Oh right, okay. I always love talking about myself, but like last Sunday at Southport, there was a final with me and Paul Crompton in.
Yeah.
So that's the complete opposite of what you're saying. He is three times quicker than me and lapped me twice in 5 minutes. I thought he lapped me four times, then I realised two fellas had the same coloured car. but I'm like, oh God, not Paul again. Oh Jesus. Okay, mate, that's the thing. There's been some chat afterwards about Harps regarding, I think it was Lee's tyre choice. I think that it was definitely the Skidmores, or certainly Mr. Skidmore, who brought it up. Did you think there was any untoward going on?
Nah, I doubt it. It's basically there was a tyre that's already out. There was a softer compound that company had made for greasy conditions. And I think the Skidmores believe that they maybe used it in the final, but it was potentially not commercially available. Because it wasn't out there. I don't know. I hadn't tried purchasing it myself. Even if someone had handed me a set of blued ones of it, I wouldn't have used it because I'm sponsored by Proline. I'm not too sure, but I very much doubt the Nemo Camp and Lee Martin cheated, to be fair. I think they just did well. Car looked good. Tires that they had, blue magma. I think the other thing that may have prodded the fire was the 6 Mic owner put up a congratulations and unfortunately put in, I used excess compound, which I think he thought they'd used, but they hadn't. I don't know. There's a lot of grey area. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They got beat.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen John Hazlewood put a video up. I think they call it tire facts. I don't think there's many facts in it. I just love the bit he starts off with. You know, it's nice to see our gracious companions just immediately, as soon as we beat them, as soon as we have a great result, they immediately go to cheating. You know, there can be no better advertisement for us than we did so well, the only reason everyone else. And I think they then turned around and said other people were running the same tire as they were, which they're allowed to. But are you saying that if you got the opportunity, you wouldn't run somebody else's tire? Because that seems to have happened to other people in the final.
Myself, personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other people, I know of other people that ran other tires. As far as I'm aware, Johnny pays a large amount for his tires, even though they're discounted. So he believes he can use something else. Elliot runs T Pro, which is same owner. So the owner of S Works, the umbrella company, is also owns T Pro. So, and I know he's given Elliot the go ahead to run what he wants when he wants. Yes, there's a number of people this year. The thing is although we carry a lot of tires around, we actually only use it doesn't really bide well, obviously, when your sponsors are giving you so many tires to carry around, but then you use someone else's. Obviously, that doesn't go great.
Do you feel, I know it's a conversation I've heard in the past, but do you feel that the 8-scale tire market is too saturated? With the obviously you've got tread patterns, then you've got obviously the compound.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how it's going to go next year, but for me this year, we've kind of, it narrows down quite a lot. I mean, we've used, it's almost like when you find a tire for the track, that's just what you use. With Proline, we've used S3 Fugitive so far and clay. Slide lock, and then for the wet, if it rains anywhere, oil, mud, whatever the track surface is, wherever it rains, you just use M4 whole shot. That's always the thing. So you only really need I've found out you only really need M4 whole shot, and then clay slide lock and S3 fugitive so far.
Do you remember when I fell down the hill at that weird 90 tabletop?
No, I can't. I can't say I do.
I slipped down it. I'm actually in a car that had crashed into the post. Obviously, that post was there to stop people cutting corners. I slipped, fell down, my shoe fell off. And then I think it was like maybe Peter Pernish, probably Craggy, just destroyed, just drove through my shoe and sent my shoe flying back up to the top of the table. And Carl Latham was stood at the side, almost had a heart attack laughing. And you probably ask him nowadays, and he could probably still remember that moment. But he was in absolute stitches, almost crying. That's all he went on about for weeks afterwards.
That's hilarious.
Also, the first time I've ever been to a track where there was a wall of death. That was new to me as well.
Yes, that probably was. Yeah, they were a thing round about then, weren't they? You're saying about Matty and Carl Latham, they're not actually in the photo.
Oh, they're not?
No. They're not, which is...
No. Odd.
No. I wonder where they'd come.
Is there anybody... I asked Joey this before. Was there anybody in that picture he didn't recognise? And I think Joey went through and named everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to name everybody, but I know all the faces. There's a few names I'd struggle with.
They seemed like a solid bunch of people who enjoyed going to Euros.
Yeah, they were probably the good old days, to be fair. I don't think it's anything like that anymore.
I think that was around the time when Euros were actually, you know, arranged and planned by, you know, Wurzel and others. Whereas nowadays, Euros is just, yeah, okay, this is where we're going. Everybody has to arrange their own thing.
Yeah, I think unfortunately as well, as we turned it from that point to now, we turned it into too much of a job. I mean, if you look at it there, most people aren't wearing even a sponsored T-shirt. Whereas now, it's like you turn up in a non-sponsored T-shirt and it's like you're an alien. So I think that picture shows quite a bit how it changed since then.
Yeah, because if you look, I think it's Drescher's got like one of those associated shirts on.
Yeah, like the official ones.
Yeah, and Bradders has got like an associated shirt with some logos. I don't know if they were added, which like
stickers.
Are they sticking? But then everybody else is just wearing like normal clothes, maybe having a Leafs T-shirt on.
Or maybe the odd, yeah, like Simon Reeves got Lunsford, Tom Yardy's got Orion, Phil Slade's got Losey. And the blue is better, that's LRP.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that guy's name, although I recognise him.
Tricky? Is that Tricky at the back?
That's Tricky LRP. In the LRP, so.
No, oh, to got, the right. To the right, blue is better, LRP T-shirt.
2 seconds, let me get the picture up.
Next to Alec, Kev Lee, and Paul Timberlake.
Oh, Stephen Kirk.
Kirky Kirk.
Stephen Kirk, okay. I think it's, yeah, so yeah, I think that shows quite a lot in that picture, that that's a European Championship and most people are just in normal clothes.
Dan's got a New Zealand rugby top on, which is a great advert for a British team.
Lovely.
Stephen Pearce is wearing, it looks like a Leeds Rhino shirt.
Yep.
And of course, the person I never recognised at all was Tony Bishop. Even though in some ways he hasn't changed.
Yeah, bottom left.
Yeah, he just looked so young, so long. That is the change we've seen at Euros, and we see at race events the fact that, you know, that just looks like 36 people having a camping holiday that just happens to be racing toy cars.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back to, I suppose, the Euros we're going to have next year at Robin Hood, I assume everything going right.
Is it at Robin Hood again?
I would assume so. No, don't book your hotel just yet, Darren. But
I won't be allowed in for one way or another. I haven't raced tapes temp scale in the last this and that. Their rules are over the top, aren't they? So.
Yeah, like me. Well,
to be fair, I'm not even going either, Darren. So you're not alone there, mate.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not missing out then. If Cockhill's not going, then that's fine.
I actually get a free pass normally, but there we go.
Yeah.
Well. And then, of course, that would be nice to go back to Robin Hood because that's where me and Darren met for our probably first and only time.
Perhaps not dirt anymore, though, is it? Or don't tell me they're having a Euros on AstroTurf, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah. Euros on AstroTurf. Oh,
God.
It wouldn't be the first one, though, will it, Darren?
No. They travel.
And it will probably never be the last either.
It's just a shame. I said this about the 8-scale stuff as well, to be fair, that all this oiled high grip stuff, it's not what the cars are built to go on, to be fair. That's another subject.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? And if you wanted to chat about oiled and non-oiled tracks, I think you should probably, you know, make sure Keenan White has still got your contact details, because you must be like your second or third most mentioned UK racer.
Yeah, I like Keenan. I have had a chat with him before.
It was great. It was a great thing. And I think he actually mentioned you the week again, noticed you were right back racing. You know, called out the skills. I think it was after the East Shrewsbury round. It was really good. Darren, it's been brilliant. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
No worries. Sorry it took me a while to reply the other day. I just
You've mentioned it. You have replied.
So there's some people who still haven't replied from like last year. So
oh, Get replying, people.
I'm not being funny. Kind of a big deal. I'm not used to people saying, no, I don't want to do it, right? And obviously, you didn't say this. But I've spoken to about 5 or 6 different people who were at Hearts in the semis, and no one wanted to do it this week.
Oh, really? I mean, I was half tempted, considering you jumped on me as soon as I'd, like, just had a cut at a final in the semis. You're like, yeah, you want to speak about it? So I was...
Yeah, that's just standard Aiden.
Yeah, so part of me was like, fucking hell, he could have asked me, like, last week when I finished 4th. Instead, he goes and jumps on me when it's just been pissing down, wet through, and my car's cut in the semi. But you know what? I can hold my chin high and go and talk about it.
You can't... Sorry, Darren. I'm not cutting this bit. But honestly, I hadn't looked at results, and I just assumed you'd got in the A again.
If, and this is a big if I win at Brookthorpe and you don't text me on the Monday to do another chat, I will never come on here again.
I'm sorry, but obviously, I think you next time when you do get to Brookthorpe, you need to have a word with all of the 8th races from all of the teams and say, you know, they need to man up like you. They need to man up like you. And if they haven't had a good weekend, then it's not an excuse not to come on this thing that we do.
Yeah, this exactly.
45 minutes of rubbish.
Even poor old Lewis Jones, who's like laying in a hospital for it, replied within a couple of hours. So some people don't have any excuse.
Factually, I don't believe he's in a hospital bed. Okay, people.
No, he's not. He's not. Yes.
But as I said,
I think you're safe for me winning and then messaging me on Monday. But if I do, my phone better go off.
It will constantly go off.
The fact that Aiden's got some form of contact details for you, Darren, is frightening.
Yeah, maybe I could switch to my work phone or something.
Yeah, I would. A phone that you can leave in a drawer in the office and not ever see again.
A little bat phone. You'll just get a phone call. At work. This Darren, some scouts fellas phoning. He doesn't want a bathroom. He wants to know what tyres you were running on the weekend.
I mean, I'm just looking at the WhatsApp messages now, but actually you pretty much got it like bang on to the year within 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's quite spooky how sometimes that happens.
15th of July last year, you said thanks.
Yeah, so I think
it must be. So I guess it was the 14th of July, and then the
4th. To be fair, we've got a few that we've got, obviously, that we always keep on the yearly calendar. You know what? We got Dan Austin in a couple of weeks. It'll be
podcast
birthday, and he was obviously our first guest, so he's obviously always penciled in for that around date.
Do you know who's I'm going to mention it now. Do you know whose contact details I have not got?
Who's?
Bradders.
No, I don't have those. I mean, I'm sure someone can get them, but I don't know what he's up to nowadays.
No, nobody. Well, I'm sure lots of people do.
He left RC to obviously go to university to train to be a doctor or a nurse. I can't remember which one it was. Because then obviously everybody made the joke about him like being Jemison's special carer. So it was perfect practice to have Gemma as a friend. And I'm assuming he's graduated and done whatever.
That was a few years ago now. When
he pops up on my Instagram every now and then when he goes to the beach or wherever he loves
Instagram.
To.
He's on Instagram. I'm not really on Instagram. Let me write that down.
I'm not giving you his like details on that. You can stalk him yourself. I'm not.
I do find it a bit of a challenge if people don't reply. I do like to freak them out by going, "Hi, me again. Nice to see you." Right, Darren, before we let you go, do you want to thank your sponsors?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think they've certainly put themselves out on a limb this year just to give me a bit of a wild card. So, yeah, obviously CML, all the guys that made it happen, the Lewises got me in contact in the first place. Drescher and Varley for obviously putting everything together in the way of Associated Proline. Savok Servos, Block Engine from the guys over at RPRC, Yeah, it was nice as a wild card to be able to sort of step in and get something, and hopefully we get a few more results for them to see the year out. So thanks, everybody.
I really want you to win the next event at Brookthorpe, and then just basically your acceptance speech going, I'm not answering the phone, Aidan. Go away. Go phone someone else. Go and phone one of the Lewis brothers. Get one of them on. They'll be good.
Yeah.
Darren, it's been brilliant. Thanks for your time.
Again.
We'll catch up with you soon. Okay, mate?
No worries. See ya. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Cheers, Darren.
Well, that was great. Hopefully, fingers crossed, here listening to Josh and then Darren Bloomfield regarding his weekend, the weekend before, at Hearts as well. But guys, it's just for us to really catch up for a couple of minutes right near the end. I've got a few things that, you know, I can talk about my weekend from heart. But Joey, you know, you clearly didn't go racing again.
I clearly did not.
Are you take up go-karts like Joey Fisher?
No, I treated myself to a computer.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're playing Sea of Thieves, aren't you?
Yeah, me and Martin are dabbling in it. There's okay. Obviously other things I'll play alongside, but yeah, I've never been a big PC gamer as a kid and stuff growing up. So,
well, this must be one of our most game-filled episodes. So I'm really looking forward to, we can play it together, mate, with all the good people who have got Xboxes and PCs. We can play Halo Infinite soon. I'm really looking forward to that. That's, you know, Halo was one of my first games to sort of properly play online.
Yeah, I like Halo's fun.
So we can play some. All pretend to be Spartan 117. But that clearly is the end of the gaming talk. Martin, did you go racing last weekend or during the week?
I raced Tuesday night. I didn't race Sunday. I raced Tuesday night. It was
nice,
good.
Nice, dry, lovely weather.
It was. Yeah, it was dry. It was grippy. It got a little bit slippery when the sun went down. But yeah, it was good. It was nice just to go and chill and race.
Okay, nice. And did you say you left the Zoom layout down?
Yeah, it's still down at the moment. We'll change it in a few weeks. But it's nice just to leave that layout down for you guys that want to still try it. So
yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it. So are you going racing this weekend or?
No, I don't think there's any racing on, so I'm just gonna have a break. I've entered the Rudebits Dash for Cash at the end of the month, so.
Oh, brilliant.
Which will be a laugh. It looks a good event. I'll see a few drivers getting introduced, which is quite a cool thing that Tony's doing, because it's maybe drivers you haven't heard of, or, you know, guys that don't make the A but still contribute to this hobby quite a lot. And it's good to see Tony giving them some fanfare, and then it creates a bit of chat, especially about Will Venables with his, you know, nick of taking things and not giving them back. So
his ability to borrow, lie, cheat, and steal, as Eddie Guerrero once said. He's obviously not cheated or stolen.
No,
he's just got a habit of borrowing. Oh, sorry, can you lend me? And then he forgets that you've had them, and 2 years later, he still forgets that he owes you some wheels, William.
Tire bands.
I'm pretty sure he's got like Kevlar's toolbox in his toolbox.
Yeah, from Italy like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Mate, I totally agree. I love those things that Tony Avdoke is doing for his Dash for Cash.
Yeah,
I love the fact that people he started with, Nathan Stanmore, is it Matt Keane.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not being funny. At one end, we've got Mark Anthony Jones, who I've never seen him with. You know, I've never seen his arms before because he's always wearing a long sleeve top. And Matt Keane, I've never seen him with his arms covered. I think even when it was raining, he was wearing a vest.
Yeah.
I think he's been to a couple of those Zoom series, and he's been really quick to all of them. And then, of course, Briefcase again. Who was at heart? You know, the first thing that I noticed with the Briefcase, lockdown's been tough on him. I don't know, funny. He's gone grey. You know, 18 months ago, he looked 12. and now he looks like a 40-year-old man.
He's gone grey because he's panicking. He's going to see everybody racing because he's had half their stuff for the last year and a half. He's not had to give it back for a while. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork now. He's like, shit, I've got to give all this stuff back now.
That's maybe why he hasn't done four-wheel drive, because you'll sit there and go, oh, see me Sunday and I'll give you it back then. And then
he's off.
Guys, I had a great weekend at the Harts. It was at the Harts track. It is a great facility. Obviously, the other great UK podcast, The Grid Talk, also talk about this because Chris Bowden was there. You know, Joey, I know you've been there. The eighth track looks great. The 10th track looks great. There's covered pitting in the middle. There's lots of other things on the site. You know, as a facility, it's got to be one of the best facilities in the UK for RC.
Well, you say it's the best. It's like got other things, but if you go towards where the shop is, obviously behind the shop, the model shop, you've then got like the fish and tackle shop. There's a restaurant around there. There's like a hobby craft sort of little building behind the fish and shop. But then if you then go sort of further down, they've got like an activities thing where you can play like, you can go on the Segways. You have a tour around like the lake and stuff on a Segway. I think they've got that Zorb football thing where you sit around those like rubber balloons and just tackle your mates for the fun of things. So, you know, if Hearts were to have a national and stuff, make a weekend of it. You know?
Oh, well, without a shadow of a doubt. And I don't want to get too basic, but I'm not being funny. The toilets by the track were some of the nicest track toilets I've ever seen. And then I think when I was speaking to Harrison, one of the younger people who like involved us running the 10th track, he said, oh, look, there's even posher toilets down the road. And like just the other side of the 8th track, there's even posher toilets with showers and all those things. Now, so honestly, an amazing venue, facility, track was great. Could hold a national tomorrow, could hold a Euro, could hold a Euros tomorrow. Plenty of space, it's easy to get to. Impressed.
They have held a Euros Hearts before, not on the 10th track, but on the 8th scale track.
So and they, a Euros B, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got the capacity and the capability of doing it. So,
oh, without a shot.
It'll be nice if obviously next year we actually get a normal RC year, and you know we get nationals and stuff underway, and obviously Hearts hopefully will be able to run their end of season final that they were awarded, and then step on the podium of actually running a full national the following year, and hopefully we can do that.
Yeah, I can't see a problem at all, mate. Honestly, amazing. People keep asking me these things. What was it like? Food was brilliant. Rostrum was brilliant. Race control's great. Done everything you need. And actually, I think it's just because it's not known to us 10th boys as a 10th track, then it's sort of pushed to one side slightly. But yeah. I think once it gets its end of season finals, once it gets that, I'm sure it will be a national track. A full national track the next year, because it's such a good facility.
Craggy would be super happy because you know he loves having to travel down south.
Oh yeah, he loves.
he loves all the southern nationals that we have.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad traffic down there, and of course traffic home was fine because it was Sunday evening, but that was good. But personally, I had a great weekend. It was great to catch up with some other people who I've never met before, who I've spoken to on Facebook, or have sent me messages or something along those. And it's nice to go and see there. I really liked, don't say this too loud, that there's like a bit of needle between Hearts and Stoffold. Okay? Like the Stoffold people and the Hearts people. And I thought that was really good because I don't think Stoffold is too far away. From Hearts.
Probably about 20 minutes.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I love that. That just shows like two great clubs just trying to get better and better and better. That was brilliant. I'd have to thank Paul Timberlake, Timbers, Panda Trouser Snake, for all the help that he gave me through the weekend in 2- and 4-wheel drive. He he really, you know, especially in four-wheel drive, with there wasn't a lot of heat, there wasn't a lot of races there. So it makes it for a very busy day, looking after his own thing.
Did he make you listen to Dire Straits?
No, I didn't realise that was something. I would have quite happily listened to Dire Straits.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Oh.
It's a thing.
Right, okay. I'll have to message Timbers and see what his favourite Dire Straits is. Are we talking Money for Nothing or Industrial Disease?
I can't even tell you.
Money for Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it was that he put on in the car on our way to an interseason final once. And I think I fell asleep halfway through the car journey like I normally would do as a passenger, but I think he was a bit wound up that I wasn't as super into it as he was. Because I nodded off and I couldn't tell you who they were. It was only when we arrived that he was like, this is who they are. You should know this.
Yeah, okay. We spent a lot of time talking about whether running a short VLA on me lay down sort of stiffens the suspension too much.
Do you even know what a VLA is?
No, that's why I said VLA and not the words.
Oh.
I don't know what the words are, but so running a narrower VLA or shorter VLA just seems to stiffen them. Have you noticed that, guys? It stiffens the back of the lay down on the LD2 up.
Not run mine yet, so I don't know anything.
What do you think, Martin? Do you notice? Do you ever run short?
I've noticed. On the rear? No, I haven't noticed.
No, okay. It did. Some people did. So I was like, it didn't look good, and then we figured out that's what that was. So I learned a lot. It was really good. Everyone had a great time. Everyone enjoyed themselves. It was great to catch up and, you know, spend time with Miklos and Simon and Jamie and all those bits, all the reasons why we do RC racing. But obviously the main thing that happened, which was brought up on the Grid Talk podcast sort of yesterday, so I thought we'll get to hear about me being the hashtag Panto villain. What happens on Saturday is a raffle. Okay. Joey, you up Millers, Martin, you will. There's a raffle between qualifying, finishing, and the final starting. And everyone, you know, every heat or every final, there's a chance to win a prize. And what happened in on the Saturday, some people would, they've given different reasons, but they'd win a prize and they'd go up and go, I don't really want anything. And then they just donate it to like a junior, or they draw the thing again. And we were sat in the pub, like on Saturday night, going, well, if that happens to me, I'm going to take the prize. I'm not going to give it away, because you can't just keep giving away prizes. You know, someone else could win. And so we all came up with this pact that if we, whatever prize we, if we heard even won a prize on Saturday, that we'd take it and we'd just take it. And I'm like, it's fine, it won't be me. And then the first number out on Sunday was mine. Okay, so literally, Aiden, you've won. I was chatting to Mick Craddock and Taro at the time. So I've got to go and get me prize. And as I walked up, I noticed the first thing I saw was like a brand new Hobbywing G3 motor. So I picked that up. And as I picked it up, I think it was actually Bowden who shouted at me and go, are you going to donate it? Are you going to give it to a junior? And I won't tell you the exact words that I used, but I made my thoughts clear that I was taking this and I was putting it in my pit bag.
They rhymed with the word tuck and froth.
Yes, tuck and froth. I'm taking this. This is mine. I'm taking back raffles. I'm not having people, you know, win things and then go, oh, I'm just going to take that. If you win your prize, that's yours. If you want to give that away to somebody at a later date, please feel free. If you want to sell that to somebody else at a later date, please feel free. Let's not be sitting here having longer raffles trying to give. I'm not being funny. Between the little kids and like the Martin kids who were there, I think they must have taken half the raffle. So if I have to be a Panto villain because of raffles, then I'm far clear to be that. You know, I'm sure Chris Bowden was just a bit, you know, salty because I beat him in four-wheel drive. And he knows how little work or prep I put into four-wheel drive. So I think that's the reason he's major.
He's that salty. He still hasn't replied to my message that I sent him on Sunday afternoon.
I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy that you messaged him when I beat him.
Look, let's just put it this way, right? We give each other the abuse that we do, you know, but we all love each other really. So when you destroy both halves of that other podcast in a week of each other.
Less than a week, yeah.
It's phenomenal. So you just gotta rub that salt in a little bit more.
Thanks very much, mate.
And it's Bowden, and he knows that, you know, I'll wind him up anyway.
It was really good. I have to thank Brian Preddy for the help that he gave me and helped us sort out some of the issues I had on the L1. It was really good of Brian, you know, sorted those out. Helped me out with that. Timber's brilliant, helped me all weekend. And also, I'd like to thank Tyler Liddell for taking my four-wheel drive home and getting it prepped for Southport. Thank you very much for that. So I should all be done and dusted. I was going to talk about Torch's dash for cash, but Martin's already mentioned it. I was going to talk about the Robin Hood GP that's on the weekend of the 4th and 5th of September and that people should book in, but it's full. So there's like 16 heats already booked into that one. I think it was a really good decision by the, you know, if the BRC had any issues, they've done the right thing and they've just passed it on to the actual club at Robin Hood to organise. So that's brilliant. Really looking forward to that. Southport will actually be my last Zoom meeting because I can't make Robin Hood Zoom, but I will be able to make the Robin Hood Grand Prix sort of 2 weeks after Southport. So that's sort of feel a lot better there. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we all go indoors, which is obviously the happiest thing in the world because we all love indoors on carpet. It's going to be ace.
Yeah.
I'll start again. I was going to say, what indoors are you going to have down south, Martin?
We haven't. Well, we got to. I believe we've got a thing down in Torquay, mid Devon, more because we lost our venue. I'm going to do Silverstone. Going to be my winter thing.
I think their dates are coming out this week, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, obviously that'll be a massive meeting and, you know, I'll be just... I know the Roger Wood meeting will be probably our last, well, it's not ours, but be Bury Metro's last outdoor meeting of the year. I think that's the very beginning of October. And I'm 90% certain that Southport will probably be closed on that day because we all like to go to the Roger Wood Memorial meeting at Bury, sort of like the end of our season in the Northwest. So nice. I think there'll be more details of that. So we'll all attend that. And then we'll all be indoors from October onwards. It's going to be brilliant. Assuming that I don't get beaten up for making Southport's track too hard for everybody to take. Honestly, guys, if I haven't got Ryan Clark crying after round two, threatening to go home because Southport track is too difficult for anybody who's not lived there, I don't think I've done my job right. Okay? You know, I want people to be having nightmares about Southport.
And those people deserve to go home if they have that attitude.
Yeah. Of course, I picked Ryan Clark because I know he hasn't got that attitude and is a great guy. His biggest issue was, I think he was trying to figure out whether we, you know, like Hart's having a shower, he wants to know whether Southport had a shower to camp in. And I'm like, oof, unfortunately, no, we've got a like a hose pipe.
At the sea.
We can hose you down.
Yeah, just go to the seaside and just run it to sea.
Yeah, Alex Springer ended up in the sea there once.
No way. How did he get in the sea? It's like 3 miles away.
Well, story you'll have to ask him.
Well, maybe if he ever agrees to come on a podcast,
you'd be lucky.
Maybe we could do that. But obviously, he's too busy running the S-Works lot. Guys, is that us done?
That's us done.
Joey. Oh, hang on. Joey was here. Joey was here last week. So Martin's turn to thank the sponsors. Martin, can you thank your sponsors?
Yeah, I'd like to thank someone else. John at RC Octane.
Ideally, because obviously we have to edit this and put this together. It's been brilliant speaking to Josh after his weekend. It was ace speaking to Darren Bloomfield, if I can remember speaking to him about his weekend, which I think was a bit tougher at heart the week before. It's been great catching up with you two because I haven't spoken to you for a while. But most importantly, guys, remember, it's silly season now. It's silly season.
It is.
People are moving. Contracts are up. It's all great.
And it's only toy cars.
Oh, it's only toy cars, yeah. So
definitely some spicy toy car news coming in the next few weeks.
Definitely some spicy toy car news. I promised Miklos I wouldn't say anything about him joining Gasworks. That was a shame, wasn't it? Cheers, guys. Speak to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye. Timbers, I said. Miklos has joined in S-Works. Alec, give him a call.